Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host, and pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today it's Economics 101 with Obama, Nancy Pelosi, George W. Bush. Socialists see people as burdens. Socialists see people as burdens. Those of us who promote freedom instead of socialism see people as assets. I think I first mentioned that on Bob Enyart Live way back in the early 90s. And this weekend, we have Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, confirming that observation, since she's a liberal, and the vast majority of liberals defend socialism. And Nancy affirmed this, seeing people as burdens, with children, no less, arguing that children are a burden. And she wasn't talking against pro-lifers. She was talking to a liberal on ABC. What's his name? George Stepanolivas? No, that's not it. Just Stop Annoying Us? No, what is, oh, George Stephanopoulos. That's it. George Stepanolivas. No, Just Stop Annoying Us. George Stephanopoulos, that's it. She was talking to George Stephanopoulos, and this is what she said.
Hundreds of millions of dollars to expand family planning services. How is that stimulus?
Well, the family planning services reduced cost. It reduced cost. The states are in terrible fiscal budget crisis now, and part of it, what we do for children's health or education and some of those elements are to help the states meet their financial needs. One of the initiatives you mentioned, the contraception, is will reduce cost to the state and to the federal government.
So no apologies for that?
No apologies, no. We have to deal with the consequences of the downturn in our economy.
It's so clear. Liberals are anti-child. They kill them by abortion. Liberals kill children by abortion. They set them up to fail with public policies that maximize the number of single mother-headed households so that kids grow up without a mom and a dad. Liberals are anti-child. And here is Nancy Pelosi on ABC yesterday talking about saving money by having fewer children. When someone is in rebellion against God, they tend to take it out on the innocent. When someone is in rebellion against God, they tend to take it out on the innocent. And how stupid in the first place. Does Nancy Pelosi think the government just exists in a vacuum and tax money just comes to it by magic? Doesn't she know that it's people who provide the revenue for the government? So you have fewer people, you have less revenue. That's in the Bible. You go back 3,000 years ago and you find out people are an asset to a nation. People are an asset. But communists, they have to feed everyone. They see people as burdens, not as assets, but as liabilities. Socialists see people as liabilities, as burdens. And so children are a burden to Nancy Pelosi, who has the gall to suggest that in the stimulus package, which itself is immoral, that what we need to do is to provide money for birth control so that we will have fewer children so that the states will save money. You want to talk about short-sighted, ignorant, and wicked, that's it. And Nancy Pelosi, is she on the fringe of the Democratic Party? She's the Speaker of the House. And I wouldn't be surprised if Barack Obama is all for including hundreds of millions of dollars in the stimulus package for killing unborn children and providing birth control for fewer kids. We Christians, we view children as a blessing from God. A blessing from God. And we are having kids by the millions. And the pro-aborts and the liberals, they're killing their children by the millions. Only if they would realize that in and of itself, that will hurt their ability to control others, then they'd stop killing their kids. If only they realized it. And I'd be happy with that trade-off. If liberals realized, you know what? As we promote abortion, we're killing our own kids. We're making it harder for us to win elections. So we should stop killing our kids. And then, you know what? It'd be harder to beat them at the polls. But I'd be willing to make that trade-off so that my enemies would stop killing their own kids. Let's listen again to George Stephanopoulos and Nancy Pelosi.
Hundreds of millions of dollars to expand family planning services. How is that stimulus?
Well, the family planning services reduced cost. It reduced cost. The states are in terrible fiscal budget crisis now, and part of it, what we do for children's health or education and some of those elements are to help the states meet their financial needs. One of the initiatives you mentioned, the contraception, is will reduce cost to the state and to the federal government.
So no apologies for that?
No apologies, no. We have to deal with the consequences of the downturn in our economy.
So the consequences are we need to encourage people to stop having children to help our socialist welfare state. So they value their welfare more so than they value children. In Japan, this very day, the news in Japan is that corporations are sending their employees home early, literally, asking them to have more children. They're saying the headline on Drudge, go home and multiply. The Japanese have a 1.4 birth rate so that they're not even replacing their own population. They need to increase that to every couple has at least two kids. They're not replacing their own population. That means you have a dying nation. In Europe, there's been a war against family and children for decades. Abortion is through the roof. And people are looked down upon if they have two kids, as though you're selfish. It should be that we love children. We're going to be good parents. And we want to be a blessing to the kids that God blesses us with. Instead, if you have a few kids, people look down on you. And you're at the grocery store to the checkout line. Cheryl and I, between us, we've had seven boys. So you're at the checkout line of the grocery store and somebody looks over and says, boy, I'm glad that's not me. And a smart mom says, yeah, the kids are glad it's not you too. So we have Nancy Pelosi acknowledging that what liberals do generally, we know, that she sees children as a burden on society. Liberals are anti-child. Because they're anti-God, and God made us in his image and his likeness, so that it's natural for a liberal who's in rebellion against God to prefer animals, whales, spotted owls, and trees to children. They will protect an unborn pig, but they'll advocate the right to kill and get tax funds to kill an unborn baby girl. They will protect an unborn pig, but they will kill an unborn baby girl. So that's why, because God made us in his image, in his likeness, and so there's a self-loathing and a hatred of God and of man above anything else in the universe. They'll worship comets and meteors, but they hate children. And people in America who are liberals, they tend to hate America. Have you noticed that? And it's because America was a strong influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world for many decades. We've been losing that. But still, But still, the gospel emanates out of America more so than most countries. And so liberals have a natural knee-jerk reaction against America, against children, and because it's an expression of their rebellion against Jesus Christ. Now, there's an article today in the New York Times. Actually, it's in their international edition called the Herald Tribune. And it's about the nationalization of U.S. banks. And so we're in an economic crisis. George Bush pushes us down the road of socialism and starts the horrendous step of using tax dollars to buy ownership of private corporations in the guise of helping them when you actually hurt them. You hurt them. Look at industry in the Soviet Union. Socialism, it has a net destructive effect, but fundamentally it's immoral. That's why it's wrong. So I'd like to share with you this article from the New York Times today. Nationalization of U.S. banks gets a new serious look. That's the headline. Washington, D.C., only 5 days into the Obama presidency, members of the new administration and Democratic leaders in Congress are already dancing around one of the most politically delicate questions. Is the president prepared to nationalize a huge swath of the nation's banking system? This is horrific. I don't know if you realize how horrific this is. Of course, they point out that more than $300 billion of taxpayer money has already been poured into just two banks, Bank of America and Citigroup. Just those two. If hundreds of billions of dollars, this is from the New York Times today, if hundreds of billions of dollars of new investment is needed to shore up those banks and perhaps their competitors, what do taxpayers get in return? That's the question they ask. And you know what we get? We get hurt. Especially if we get something in return. I mean, if the government is going to violate God's commands and start dishing out money, let's say the government decided for some reason to give Bob Enyart $3 million. Would that be fair? Would that be right? Would it be just? No, it would be wrong. The government is authorized by God to defend against crime, criminal justice system and invading armies and so on, and to provide infrastructure like roads and bridges and waterways and so on. The government doesn't have the authority to spend money in other areas. They don't have that authority from God. So taxation is authorized by God for governments. But they can't use the force of government to make you pay taxes and then turn around and give your tax money to me. They can't do it. It's immoral. It's wrong. So if the government was going to break God's law and give millions of dollars to private businesses or individuals, not for services rendered, just to give it to them, then that's a crime. But then it's even worse if the taxpayer gets something in return. If the taxpayer ends up owning a business, remember when the IRS went after the House of Prostitution in Nevada? That chicken ranch? And the chicken ranch was going out of business, so you know what the IRS did? They ran it. That's what they do. They will run a business. They ran a House of Prostitution to recoup taxes. That's how broken and immoral, bankrupt our entire system is. So if we get something in return, it's worse because then you go down further this path, the road of socialism. So if Obama continues the Bush actions of socializing the banks, government becoming an owner of banks, in these two cases, the largest shareholders in Bank of America and Citigroup, that's what Bush has put us as the largest shareholders, then we are in increasing trouble because this is socialism. And it didn't start, this current phase of a deeper embrace of socialism didn't start with Obama. It started with George W. Bush. In fact, remember, he said it. He admitted it. Let's hear that. We got that, right? From George W. Bush. Let's hear this.
Are you going to bail out the auto industry?
We're considering all options. Well, I obviously have made a decision to make sure the economy doesn't collapse. I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
I've abandoned free market principles. And by the way, you know what they're based on? Do not steal. That's free market principles. The opposite of socialism is freedom. The opposite of socialism is freedom. When God said, thou shalt not steal, that tells us that we have a right to own private property. And so George W. Bush thinks that free market principles are just negotiable matters. That when things get rough, you set aside do not murder. That's not relevant. What's relevant is how do we get another Republican victory at the polls? When times are rough, you set aside do not steal. Don't be so concerned with do not commit adultery. That makes us look old-fashioned. We need to get elected. We need to have a coalition. We need to have a big tent. We need a majority. So when you consider socialism, the first matter is that socialism is immoral. God said do not steal, and socialism violates that command. But then secondly, socialism doesn't spread the wealth as much as it spreads the poverty. Government bureaucrats are not smart enough to make better decisions than the collective efforts of 10,000 businessmen in a privately owned industry. The banking failure, the collapse of the subprime mortgage industry, that was largely created by Congress providing guidelines to banks that they have to make loans to people who don't qualify, people who can't pay back. And it was the increasing control of the financial industry that caused it to be so utterly irresponsible. And so these government bureaucrats are not smart enough to make better decisions. Why not? Well, two reasons. One, when people spend their own money, they're far more effective than those who spend other people's money. Is that true or false? When they drive their own car, don't they take better care of it than when they drive a rental? Who is more destructive to the residents they live in, homeowners or renters? If you've ever been a landlord, you know the answer to that. Your tenants move out and you walk in and you're holding your breath to see what they've left for you. So first off, people are less responsible and less effective at a task when they don't have ownership. So privately owned industry functions better than government owned industry. To properly function, here's the second reason socialism doesn't work. An industry processes billions of pieces of information. Managers collectively throughout an industry take into account billions of pieces of information, and they have to process that to make tens of thousands of decisions. And by human nature and the tendency for people to control others, to be control freaks, the authority of a bureaucrat typically prevents 10,000 businessmen from responding in a better way to those billions of pieces of information. The bureaucrat takes priority over the collective business wisdom of an entire industry. So not only is socialism and communism, not only is socialism wrong, but also there's insufficient brain power among bureaucrats and insufficient motivation for they're not spending their own money. So the New York Times asks today, how do the risks escalate as government's role expands from a few bailouts, which, by the way, were immoral, to control over a vast portion of the financial sector of the world's largest economy. Well, also on the same show, ABC this week, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi referred to the internal debate about nationalizing the banks when she was asked whether nationalization was a good idea, you know, full or partial nationalization. And Nancy Pelosi says, well, whatever you want to call it, if we are strengthening the banks, then the American people should get some of the upside of that strengthening. Some people call that nationalization. Do you realize what we're talking about? Hugo Chavez nationalizes an industry, and we all realize it's theft. He's robbing people who own oil fields. And we've got it now in Washington, D.C., and it was introduced most recently by George W. Bush. And he has unleashed this incredible wickedness on us, another aspect of his legacy. And by the way, to see his abortion legacy, go to AmericanRightToLife.org. You'll be devastated. So, she said that some people call that nationalization. And then Nancy Pelosi said, would we have ever thought we could see the day when we'd be using that terminology, nationalization of the banks? So they're flirting with this, folks, and it's largely George W. Bush's fault. He did it. Increasingly, there's little difference between Republicans and Democrats. So the New York Times says others talk of de facto nationalization, in which the government owns a sizable chunk of the banks, but not a majority. And of course, that's already happened, right? The biggest shareholders in Bank of America and Citigroup are the U.S. government. The government owns the largest chunk of those two mega banks. And many say that this kind of partial ownership by the government and the private individuals is not workable. So they're saying it's really better for us to go all the way. The New York Times quotes from the Peterson Institute for International Economics today, and they say the case for full nationalization of the banks is far stronger now than it was a few months ago, before George Bush got his hand in it. If you don't own the majority, you don't get to fire the management. You don't get to wipe out the shareholders. And they say that's the mistake the Japanese made in the 1990s with all the malaise. So they go on, I would guess that sometime in the next few weeks, Obama and his Treasury Secretary nominee will have to come out and say, quote, it's much worse than we thought, and just bite the bullet and nationalize the banks. And so this article is pretty fascinating. And they talk about the nightmare scenarios. For example, if the government nationalizes two banks, then the private investors of all the other banks, they start to flee because they know it's coming. That's what happens when in Africa, in nations where the government starts taking farmland, then investors and people who know how to run businesses, they flee. They don't want to be robbed. When you know somebody's coming down the alleyway to mug you, you run. And they say the nightmare scenarios are endless. For example, if the federal government is running the banks, then the Obama administration comes under this enormous political pressure to stop foreclosures. And then what happens? People who were paying their mortgage, they stop because, well, they're not going to be any foreclosures. There's a moratorium on foreclosures for the next 3 years. And all those miserable spending projects run by liberals in city after city in this country, I'm talking about Republican projects, and there's some Democratic ones too, then there's this powerful constituency for the banks to fund these failed projects. And of course, that steers the banks closer to the edge of the precipice. And even a senior Obama official told the New York Times, the nightmare scenarios are endless. Yeah, they're endless. Whenever you disobey God, you can't possibly foresee all the harm and unintended consequences and the eternal ramifications, the lost opportunity, and the hurt that you'll cause. God commands against sin because sin leads to death. God said, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not commit perjury, that is, bear false witness, and do not steal. By the way, those four of the Ten Commandments form the foundation of a civil government. Those four. And our nation has set aside those four for the most part, and that's underneath Republican governments. So we need to wise up, stand up for the Lord, and hey, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school.